Hey everyone, and welcome to the 18th episode of Press X to Start.
Oh, hey, it's Cameron. He's alive,
right?
Back from the dead. Press X is a weekly podcast where we discuss gaming news, reviews, all things video gaming. Your host this week is Cameron. I'm back. Avery. Now we can be the brothers in gaming. We got DJ over here, and we got Marcus.
Back again with the botches.
Yep.
How are you? And as a reminder, all podcasts can be found on Podbean at Podbean and Press X to Start.
Somebody's rusty.
Podbean.com, iTunes, and Google Play. Simply search Press X to Start. Also, if you want to continue the conversation from today's podcast, follow us on Twitter at Press X, the number 2S. Like our Facebook page at Press X, the number 2Start. And follow our Instagram account at Press X, the number 2Start. Man, this joint is a lot harder than I remember. Yeah. But with that being said, which I've been playing this week.
Already stuttering though.
What we call it, stroke.
DJ, yeah. Do you play games, DJ?
I do. You could say I play them infinitely.
Ew.
Anyway, so I happened to jump on the Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite story mode demo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty garbage.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so was it garbage from a fighting game mechanics level?
No, the mechanics was fine.
Okay, so that's okay.
Everything else was just not good.
Play. I have Rocket, Raccoon, and Dante.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
And they don't look good at all.
They don't.
Rocket looks fine.
Yeah.
Dante's got some problems, though.
Right. That's pretty much all I was playing. How about you, Avery?
After finishing up Last Guardian, playing some Overwatch with you guys, getting through Mass Effect, I finally got down to Nier.
Okay.
Okay, calm down, Cameron. Calm down.
He's been waiting. I've been waiting every week.
Okay,
here, Avery.
So, mechanically, the game is everything I love about Platinum Studios.
Right.
It has a super interesting game world and story going on. And Cameron's right. It has some of my favorite sort of ambient video game music in a while.
Right.
Especially with sort of this... when you go to Pathkill Village, and
I told you about the robots.
Yeah, little Japanese robots kids on it. It's great.
Cam is dancing right now.
I have two major problems with the game.
Okay,
what's sort of leveling out for my oh, this is amazing. Too, this is just a good game. I think the world design is boring as fuck.
Yeah, we're talking about the gray palette.
Yeah. It's painful to look at.
Yeah,
how do you feel about the backtrack?
Like
that's one thing that started bothering.
Okay, so. I'm relatively halfway through the game. I think I could probably beat it by next week.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I found was I hated the backtracking, but then I realized, oh, if you go far enough in the story, you can just fast travel everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I have no problem with this. And then I have one more issue with the game beyond its sort of aesthetics. The design of the controller, your control scheme, is not good.
Mm. Okay.
Earlier, DJ was talking about earlier by a couple of weeks when we were talking about Zelda. He was talking about how the Zelda controls weren't well designed.
Yep.
I have the same problems with Nier.
Really?
Okay, so basic
playing that game then.
Well, they have a caveat though. You can actually map the controls how you want them.
Okay.
So they're able to fix the problem. But out of the box, it does not work well.
Oh, really?
Okay, so L1 is your robot special move.
Okay.
R2 is the lock on. L1 is to fire. R2 is to dodge.
Exactly. So you're tagging R2
is the dodge?
R2
is the dodge. And so
that's a lot of middle finger action there.
My problem is the game does, like, if this was a game where you could only physical attack or fight or shoot at the same time, you had to pick either or, I would have had no problem with the placement.
Yeah.
But you can shoot all the time. It's a separate action. So it's when you're holding the controller, it's physically hard to dodge in a quick fight and then keep on shooting to get that extra damage.
Right.
So I had to remap the controller for that to make sense.
Okay.
And that annoyed me for a long time.
Yeah.
But other than that,
actually, so did you have a problem with the camera? Or was that just me?
Fun fact, I just got the trophy for looking up 2B's curves.
Wait, I'm sorry, what? There's a trophy?
It sure is. Sure is.
Avery, there are times when being a completionist is just not a great idea.
It's super easy.
Oh, gosh.
No, because you're talking about the camera.
Press X to start.
Okay. No.
Time out. How did Sony allow that to be a trophy? We're at 2017.
Bro, they're a Japanese country.
Okay.
Well, I mean, a company.
First of all, yeah. She's wearing a leotard. She's not.
Oh, okay.
It's not, like, it's not as pervasive as anyone thinks it is.
Oh, okay.
Second of all, the camera is weird in that. The camera's actually on the robot that's following her and not on her particularly.
That explains why.
That's why it's so weird. Okay. I get what you're saying. It hasn't bothered me.
Drone?
Yeah.
Interesting mechanic.
So, like, to do that, like, get that trophy, I had to angle her on top of a building because the camera just won't swing under her.
Right.
It will swing around her.
This is, like, a lot of work. For
and the fun thing about that trophy, she recognizes when you do it and she dodges out of the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they thought of everything, guys. Anyway, yeah, so I'm enjoying you. It's so weird. It's so weird. But, yeah, I'm still enjoying you.
Okay.
So, Marcus?
Yeah.
Overwatch, Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Same old.
True. We did happen to play as a squad.
We did.
Fun thought, next time you schedule a squad night, don't show up late.
Right. You right.
Okay, I was playing it's Horizon's fault for one.
Mm-hmm.
I was not able to save, and I'm trying to beat that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my best. I was not able to save, and I was in the middle of a mission. I couldn't pause the game and play another game because it's going to turn it off.
It was fun though. You know, our ratio generally is we play, we win, then we get murked unmercifully.
No, talking about the game map.
If we can get a match.
Right.
If we can get a match.
That's true.
Right.
That's
true.
So, I've been playing Close Overwatch with you all.
Well, first explain where you've been these last 2 weeks.
That's true. Where you been, Cam?
I've been like
Moonlight.
Like, we were trying to deal with the problems that were E3 by ourselves.
Yeah.
I wasn't here. So what was that first podcast? I was in New York, I believe. Yes, I was in New York for an event with Kim for musicians and songwriters, and so I wanted to tag along with her.
Supporting your wife?
Yeah.
Look at you.
I mean, she comes and tags along to these podcasts most of the time, so I figure do the reverse.
Does she tag along, or does she just live there?
Yeah, we have to talk to you about that.
Right.
She's like, "Yo, them niggas done yet?" Oh my God,
I'm trying to make Brussels sprouts.
Get out of my house.
And then the week after that, Kim and I were hosting a few friends in town, and we had like a very busy week.
So you had your own podcast.
Oh,
is that what that is?
No, actually, we just have rehearsal for music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so
choir music.
Yes, it was actually.
Oh. Wait, Cam. You can sing?
I do a little something.
Oh, really?
I stay in my lane.
What's really going to happen is Cam about to sing our intro song. It's about to be a gospel
song. I'm talking about them sensor beams.
We need an ultralight beam.
Never again.
That wasn't a good example of singing.
No, not at all. But
that's better in person.
Y'all heard me?
Definitely.
Debatable at best.
Right.
So, but other than that, playing Overwatch with you guys, being out, I tried Life is Strange, old game. It was free. Why not pick it up?
Yeah. That's
free on PlayStation Plus. I was about to say PlayStation Plus.
One of the things...
Police station?
The defense, yo. But my only issue with the game is, like, it's just... It's better than Telltale because it actually works.
It does. Ooh. It doesn't crash on
you. It crash on me.
Shocks.
But the writing... My issue with the writing is more so like... It was like, how do high schoolers talk?
Yeah, that is...
So let me write like high schoolers talk. And I was just like...
I feel like this, because this is a European studio, right?
Yeah,
I feel like that's something that European studios are always going to struggle with when they're trying to write Americans.
Yeah.
They're just like, this is how I believe Americans are.
As a guy who's been signal boosting this game,
I'd like some hot dogs and French
fries. I personally don't know how teenagers sound, so everything came out of the mouth sounded fine to me.
These are what the youth
you
sound
don't
like.
Know how teenage, you were once a teenager.
Was I?
Yes.
Or was I 70 years old in high school?
Are you, Benjamin Button?
Ask yourself that, Marcus. No, I don't want to go to the party. I just want to go home and play my stories.
Play my stories.
Jesus. Turn my stories back on, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, so that's been pretty much it for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're liking Life is Strange.
Yeah, I am. I'm about to get to the second episode?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to get into the second episode. I'm compelled enough to keep going. I think Chloe is a horrible friend.
Oh, keep playing. Keep playing.
Great.
Because the game makes you make choices.
I know. Do they matter or they don't?
Ish.
They matter more than a Telltale game.
Okay. Now I have more reason to keep
playing. It's like on a scale of Quantic Dream and Telltale, it's somewhere smack dab in the middle.
There we go.
Oh.
It, like, the major choice in the game changes.
Like a choice sandwich.
Yeah, the major choice in the game is really predicated on your relationships with the characters, and it's a how you feel about these characters informs the choice, and more than how the game wants you to pick that choice.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm. Oh, I like that already. So, yeah. So, this week, we're going to jump into our gaming news section. Avery, actually, why don't you kick us off, man? You're doing this new thing.
Okay, so, yeah, we're trying something new. We're trying to vary up how the podcast works, so I'm going forward, going to try and handle news as best as I can, so bear with me, guys.
You're
going
to be all right.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the things I was super excited for E3 was Beyond Good and Evil reveal, mm-hmm. and sort of everyone was like, oh, they haven't started this game, but like if you watch Michelle Ancel on stage, they show like some dev stuff behind him.
Right.
And
right.
So this week, I'm going to say Monday, they released a 15-minute video of Michelle Ancel basically sitting down and talking with you about what this game is. They have an engine. They've already started working on it. They have assets that actually work in the game.
Right.
It looks super promising, super cool. I have two big caveats about it. Okay. He stressed in the game that you can make your character. It immediately lost me. It immediately lost me. I want them to tell this story.
Yeah, I can see how that'd be a problem.
Yeah.
With this, because this is definitely a prequel that now that we know, but it's a prequel to a already established story where there wasn't a creatable character. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
I think the issue is the fact that one, we know that this is a prequel, and the fact that you can make your own character means that your character is going to have no.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And he has
it's gonna fall into my same problem that most creative game characters, for the most part, happen where your character is a passenger in a story that they're driving.
Right.
Like, you don't make any decisions. You just kill this boss, and then the story decides that we're going to move forward.
Right.
Meanwhile, if you're playing as, let's just say, Nathan Drake, and you go down this corridor, and he, like, has to go left or right, Nate is making that decision.
Yeah.
The game is making that decision. They're telling that story, and I really like that about that.
Right.
The only other interesting caveat, and I'm going to really dig deep on this, is the game sounded a lot like No Man's Sky when he was describing it.
Yep.
And
pulling out.
Ooh.
I mean,
and as
bigger world.
I don't think it's going to be as dire because they still seem to be working with we're going to actually have a story to drive you forward.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky's problem was that there was no story to drive behind
the emptiness
of the game.
Right.
But it's one of those things where, especially after Mass Effect Andromeda attempted a No Man's Sky-like thing and said, ooh, let's not do this. I kind of want them not to do this. Just build one or two interesting worlds and just populate it forward. But the game is still super easy. Super early. Michelle Ancel, creator who I really trust in terms of making the game, like, he made that first Beyond Good and Evil, which is one amazing game. He made a couple of really great Rayman games in between there.
Oh, he was responsible for Rayman?
Yeah, so okay. I sort of trust him with his creative vision.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Someone had pointed out that he was using an Xbox controller during that.
I saw that as well.
But he's working on PC, so go fuck yourself.
Good point. Yeah, so with this, in terms of like my impact, like how it impacts me in terms of the game, I never played the first one, so I don't really have any kind of background
for how it should work.
Right, but looking at the dev environment, or not even dev environment, just like the actual stuff that he showed off.
The assets.
I'm kind of indifferent because I know that this can either get better or get worse.
Yeah.
Depending on the full game.
The assets looked good.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
And some of the things he was showing, like your ship coming out of another ship,
and then you'd be able
to go into that smaller ship and then go in and out, those look like
really
interesting ideas.
And there was like a good sense of like scale versus you and like,
but then
stuff around.
Yeah. But then at a certain point, I'm like, do it need to be this big?
Exactly. Like, is that going to really matter in the actual game? Like,
yeah, it's because I skimmed through it, so like there was things I obviously could, because of the way I reacted, missed, like the fact that there's going to be creatable character and stuff like that. But I did skim through and check out certain things. The scale of it is pretty big, which is a double-edged sword, because it's like, the scale is great, and it's like, okay, that's cool that the scale of this size is achievable, but doesn't need, like you said, to be this big, because I thought we were just telling this isolated story and how it impacts the world of the game. So, yeah.
Okay, right. So...
Indifferent, though. Yeah.
Moving forward, another story that came up. Well, this is a longer story that we've sort of been dealing with in the pre-E3 and post-E3.
Right.
Sony is dominating this console generation. We know that. But there's been this weird sort of feeling that they're sort of losing the identity that got them there.
Yeah, they're becoming old Sony.
Yes, they're becoming old Sony, to quote Greg Miller.
Yeah.
But so there have been three major PR flubs that they've had Sony representatives come out and just not know how to message something to their fan base who's on their side.
Right.
There's the old games argument, where I believe that they were questioned about sort of like Xbox Live backwards compatibility and why they're not doing that. And the way they messaged it was like, I looked, why would anyone sort of want to play
an old game?
I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
but that's a messaging problem because funny thing is, a couple days after that, he said that, the article came out that said, like, barely anyone is using the Xbox's backwards compatibility.
Exactly. Right,
there's credence to that, but it's one of those things where, like...
It looks bad.
From optics, it looks bad, and you shouldn't message it that way.
I mean, so, I get where you're coming from. It did sound bad, per se, but... It's still the fact of the matter. I mean, if it really mattered, Xbox would be selling, like, consoles.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And so so when you say it's a PR issue, you're just saying, like, they could have just said, like, oh, you know, we don't have the technology at the time.
It's one of those things where all these bad PR mistakes all these flubs that they've made, I totally understand where they're coming from, all of them, and they all make sense.
Yeah, it's just
the way they may message it doesn't sound good.
Right.
Okay, get to another one. They're talking about indie games.
Okay.
Like, this last E3, their press conference, they didn't have a big sizzle reel of indie games. Xbox did.
Which was shocking.
Yeah.
Right.
Their response was, like, when you do that sizzle reel, no one has time to look at those games. And it's been... And then some people...
Which is a good point.
It's a good point.
Because last year, they had a bunch of games, and I was like, that's interesting, but I don't know the title of that game, so, like, what?
But that is part of...
Go ahead. No, I was going to ask, like, was one of their games that, like, they won Dreams with a weird piano and all that?
Well, Dreams, the AAA first-party game.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, well, never mind. But, yeah, okay. I don't even remember any of them, so...
Right, yeah, exactly.
Which is the point. Like, those indie games, when you put them in that shotgun approach, like, here's a bunch of indie games that are coming to a console, they don't really show well.
Yeah.
But that's coupled with the fact that they sort of pulled back on independent games rather... In terms of like first couple years of PlayStation 4, that was what was keeping the console alive. Those independent games.
Yeah.
And then they're sort of pulling back. And now the question is, with this marketing message, are they sort of biting the hand that fed them and got them to that point?
But so I feel like what they've done this year. So last year, the reason why we're like Sony had this wonderful conference was because they showed us games on games on games on games and gameplay with those
brand new games on games on games, games we didn't know about.
Right. And so for this year, they were kind of like, okay, let's try to double down on this, but then also show, like, you know, some games, show where people were. And I feel like Xbox had to go into like the indie thing, one, because they don't have anything that makes they don't have an identity.
Yeah, they don't have anything.
And so by like bringing in these indie games, it kind of gives Xbox an identity. But even when they were doing that, it was like a launch exclusive.
Yeah.
And so even then, it's like, this is not even your identity. This is something that you're borrowing for the moment.
And the whole time, it does sort of feel a little bit like, and I'm gonna do something that upsets Cam a little bit. It feels a little bit like the way that Apple be doing with Samsung sometimes, where they'll ape something that Samsung already had.
That's true.
And then just, do, you know, adding their shit on it.
They didn't touch how your phone catches on fire.
Anyway, first off, my phone
didn't. That was his little brother's phone. Exactly. Not his.
My phone didn't catch on fire.
He good, though, right?
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay. I mean, all jokes aside.
Yeah. And then the biggest PR flub, the one that everyone keeps talking about, is the cross-play debate.
Yeah.
Before we touch into it, how do you all feel about this idea of cross-platform play?
I think it's a better idea in theory, but I think in certain aspects it could really, like, let's say some homies have Overwatch and we have Overwatch, but we have it on PS4, they got it on the Xbox. That'd be kind of cool to, like,
play each other.
Yeah, but in certain things it's kind of like,
I like it in, like, what you're saying in terms of idea, but I think in actual execution, I think it's going to cause more technical problems than it's worth. Also, I think part of the reason why we think a lot about crossplay is because Microsoft has that Windows system already integrated. You think about now how like games are coming out on PC all that, and so like it feels like Microsoft is ahead when in reality they're just Microsoft players and Windows players.
An interesting thing is that crossplay already exists.
Yeah,
PC games and Sony games are communicating. PC games and Xbox games are communicating. The problem is that certain games have figured out how to get Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox to all coexist. And Sony specifically, and this is where this pushback is coming from, is like, nah, we don't want to do that. And like, from a business standpoint, that makes perfect sense.
Right.
Like, why would you want to get people to play?
It's the fact that they're on top
buy my system.
My thing is that this whole like cross-play like conversation didn't happen last console generation. It could have happened last console generation. Yeah. Nothing really changed between this console generation and last console generation.
Well, the Switch, though, kind of.
No, Nintendo is a non-factor. They've always been a non-factor when it comes to online gameplay.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. So it's the fact that now that Xbox is down, they're like, hey, this cool new idea of cross-play or cross-platform play, let's try to get Sony involved. Yeah. Sony's like, no, we're on top right now. We don't need that.
And that's the problem. Had they just said, we're on top, we don't want to do this because it helps you and not us, that would have been a different conversation.
Right.
Their answer was, we don't want kids.
Right.
We don't want to open up our ecosystem and allow predators online to mess with kids.
Okay.
Another thing
that a lot of people don't realize about this whole cross-play conversation is the fact that in order for this to work, you have to set up an Xbox account. So if you're a Nintendo player, you have to set up an Xbox account in order to do crossplay.
Which means, you have to, like, it's one of those sly things that Microsoft has been talking about.
Exactly.
Like, it's weird.
So that's like,
I'm not going to want to do it.
Exactly. It's like,
I don't want to set up a Sony account.
I have an Xbox account, and I don't want to do this.
Also, I was very confused at first when I heard about crossplay, because I'm like, that's a form of cosplay? I don't know what's going on.
It's when you cosplay, but you cross-dressing at the same time. So it's like that man fay.
You also
cross your feet at the same time.
Oh, so, man. There's a lot of crossing going on.
Okay. Moving on. Next story. This is going to be a short one. Okay, so Uncharted Last Legacy is coming out later this month. No, in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And that is a glorified DLC that turned into a brand new game.
Yeah.
And it sort of opened up this idea, because Naughty Dog has become the top commodity studio.
Yep.
They kind of don't want to go backwards, and they told their magnum opus with Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
But the idea is, what's the future of the Uncharted franchise going forward?
Jack and Daxter.
What?
Boy. Boy, I've been praying for next gen Jack and Daxter.
Well, there's more room for it now. But
there is two sets of stairs and a door. You can take all the stairs and the door. Like, see you next Fox.
So you can make like a tree and go away.
So like, they just can't go.
Climate change.
Is Naughty Dog going to keep making Uncharted games, or are they going to give the franchise to another studio to make, and what does that mean for the Uncharted future?
Okay, so I think that there's two ways that this could be answered. Will they? Maybe. Should they? I think they should, because hear me out. Unlike Last of Us, where this is
your mouth of like Andromeda, excuse this.
No. Not at all. Unlike The Last of Us, where this is very much so a game where the characters define the narrative. Like, there is a world around them, but we don't want to play as other characters in this world. We're here for Joel and Ellie. Mm-hmm. So if they were to make like a Last of Us 3 and they're covering two completely different characters, it'd just be this disconnect. The thing with Uncharted that I feel like is, yes, it tells the Nathan Drake story, but then Uncharted still is a world that's about...
It's created a bunch of interesting characters that you want to see different stories.
Yeah,
I don't think that's
the money.
That's not
money
the question,
artists.
Though. Yeah. The question is, if Naughty Dog should be making those games.
Yes.
And I don't think so.
I think so. One.
Oh, okay.
After the last Uncharted, you know, there was always speculation about his brother and Sully and what they were going to do. What makes Uncharted compelling. It's the story. It's the writing. Exactly. I think outsourcing this to another studio, you're going to lose that strong script writing, right, that strong narrative. Right.
We wouldn't have gotten another. We wouldn't have gotten Last of Us if they were still focusing 100% on Uncharted.
That's true.
And as someone who wants to see new, more interesting,
I'd like to say I think we wouldn't have gotten a game that is quality of Last of Us.
Yeah, if I got you.
Didn't get it from
what I'll say is this.
And we wouldn't have got the quality of Uncharted if we didn't have, like, it's just they
all Naughty Dog.
Yeah. What I'll say is this: they shouldn't devote their full time to Uncharted going forward because they already told their main story. What I will say is maybe if they wanted, they could still do these kind of glorified DLC games. Like, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think that Lost Legacy is going to be as long or expansive as Uncharted
4. It's 8 to 10, right?
8 to 10 hour game. Yeah. Fun fact, though.
That's actually almost as long as
that's like Uncharted. A full game.
Oh, cool. It's as long as the first game, not as long as Uncharted 4. From what I learned from just Dev Talk is that their entire team is focusing on Lost Legacy. So, like, the whole Last of Us thing, they're still in early pre-production.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay, because then what I was going to say, but I guess it's going to be thrown out the window, is that they could keep doing these kind of DLC-type things, like, okay, we focused on Chloe and Sasha.
Nadine.
Okay, Nadine. I went full Walking Dead.
You sure did.
And then, you know, they could do, like, you know, Sam and
Sully,
or they could do, you know, or
the daughter.
If they wanted to go forward,
spoilers, not joking.
If they wanted to go forward, they could maybe cover his daughter, but at the same time, that might be this, like, isn't that Tomb Raider, bruh?
That was my thing. When I played when I beat Uncharted 4 and they ended with that sequence of the daughter, I'm like, okay, so this is what the next Uncharted game is going to be.
Mm. Right. So,
and I would play, if now y'all made a game about that girl, I would be like, okay, yeah, totally justified, let's keep going forward.
Right.
But I don't want
you would ask yourself, do we need this?
I don't think I would need it because I have Uncharted.
I feel like my thing is the fact that
Uncharted.
If Naughty Dog wants to make an Uncharted game, let them make an Uncharted game. When they don't want to make an Uncharted game,
that's gonna be the question because Uncharted sells super well. But
I think Sony is the type of company where they understand that Naughty Dog, they understand Naughty Dog before Uncharted.
And I also
When Naughty Dog says, hey, we're done with Uncharted, Sony's going to be like, okay, we'll give it a couple years, and then maybe we'll come back to Uncharted, make it a big blowout, but for now, what is your next project?
And they've earned it, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want them to keep doing new stuff.
Right.
Okay, so moving on to our last story, today I went to a GameStop today. I was trying to buy a Nintendo Switch.
I thought you pre-ordered yours.
I have one waiting for me on a short list at a GameStop. But I heard they were getting Nintendo Switches in stock. I'm like, let me just show up and be like,
see
what I can do. Mm-hmm. Did not happen. And when we were talking about it earlier, you're like, this is Nintendo being Nintendo, holding off Switches.
Right?
They don't want money. And I'm like, no, this is Nintendo underestimating how well the Switch was going to do,
right?
And then eating into Apple's money.
Yeah. I think it's one of the chips that is a part of the Switch's systems is also a chip that Apple uses for their phones.
Apple's ramping up for their brand new phone.
Exactly. So Nintendo is essentially stepping. Well, one of the companies is stepping on the other company's feet.
So right.
We're not going to say which one is which because...
Or which one matters more.
Yeah.
Clearly, iPhones.
I mean, Apple could probably buy Nintendo if they wanted to.
They really could. Okay. Japanese company.
I guess that's true. They're not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's just, you know, it's so, just...
Keep looking for those Switches.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't buy them off Amazon, though.
Yeah.
Because they are the...
$2,000?
No, it's Switch retail for basic model, nothing added, $299. If you look on Amazon right now, you can find brand new Switches for $500.
Yeah.
Excuse me? I'm not paying $500.
Exactly.
But someone will.
I'll buy an Xbox before that.
That's
saying a lot.
Okay, this is our last news story. This is a piece of news I picked up, and I just want to hear DJ's response to it. So they pretty much said in Destiny 2 that they're not dealing with the darkness.
Everyone, are you sitting down right now? Sit down. All I'm going to say, this is a terrible mistake. I can't. There is so much lore behind the darkness and like what that means to Destiny that the fact that they're not going to even touch on that is just ridiculous. Like, I'm still going to buy the game, but like, it kind of makes me question like, what is this? Like, if this story is really going to be as great as the lore was for Destiny 1.
But DJ, didn't they already make like 2 The Darkness games?
Yeah, and that was their better DJ, game.
He's actually talking about the game, The Darkness.
Boy, if you don't get it. I'm over here pouring my soul out. You talking about a Darkness game?
I agree with you as well. Someone who played Marcus. Yeah, I agree with you as well. Someone who played the OG Destiny era, vanilla, and was playing in like, what is the darkness? What does this all mean? Mm-hmm. And then just to be like, let's not deal with that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little annoyed. I didn't know what's going on here.
Right.
I need some answers.
I can't believe. Anyways, I don't even want it. I'm done. Damn it, Bungie.
He's done.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Man. Wherever you have gone, it sapped you of your segue powers.
No. That was a perfect segue right there.
Are you okay?
Speaking of being done, we're almost done with this year.
Oh.
And with that being said, we have some games that we're looking forward to that are coming out at the close to the end of the year.
Yeah.
Back half.
The back half of the year.
You're back.
Yeah.
You're back.
Almost lost me.
Normal.
So, how you want to do this? Avery, do you want to kick us off since you have the list?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. Okay, so I am looking forward to Splatoon 2. I always love the aesthetic and just sort of the fun nature of Splatoon. I really appreciate it. It was the only first-person shooter that you could give to a child. And they could play it and actually learn the mechanics of shooters without being on the vile Call of Duty, like all of that type of stuff. I love that you can either be the big question of that game is are you a squid or a kid? I love Splatoon. I can't wait for the sequel.
That'd be really off-putting if you just got like you're playing Splatoon and then all of a sudden like a little kid comes over the waves and it's like nigger.
Even in Nintendo.
No. I'm just playing Splatoon, enjoying myself.
Bet you live at home with your mom, nigger. All right, so a game I'm looking forward to is Fortnite. I talked about this previous podcast, but 4-player co-op, research gathering, craziness, shooting, good time.
Yeah, if everything goes right, we're Press X is going to be playing that for Avery's birthday stream.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. It looks complicated, though. It's still the...
I won't buy it. I will play with you guys.
So, I do have a question. Is it a game that you buy, you get for free, but then you pay for
it.
DLC?
Or $60. Okay. I don't think there's...
It's just weird the way it's laid out in the PlayStation Store. That's
like, yeah, I don't think there's any... I don't know for sure, but I really hope there isn't. I hope it's just in there.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to Tacoma. Fulbright, the studio behind Gone Home. This is their big next big game. I believe it's coming. It was an Xbox launch exclusive.
Yeah.
For
so dumb.
For the Xbox One X and
Xbox One X.
One X, but
XOXO.
But it's also going to come. I believe it's also coming to PlayStation down the line. I'm hoping in like a couple of months. Time and not like a full Tomb Raider kind of year.
Or maybe 2 weeks.
I'm hoping it's 2 weeks because this is the type of game where just the pedigree of Gone Home that like and what they're trying to do looks super interesting. I'm super down for it. It's a walking simulator, but it's super cool.
Right.
Okay. So if you listen to it was either I think maybe 2 podcasts ago when we covered EA, then you know that I've been looking forward to Madden NFL 18, which was just. Not something that I was expecting to look forward to because it's Madden and it's Madden. But just the fact that they're jumping on the story mode wave.
And something I recently learned about that Madden is I don't think you're actually going to be playing football in the story mode. I think it's a Telltale adventure game.
Huh.
What, the Madden?
The
film? I did hear.
That's interesting.
So the coach is going to say, I remember this?
Because Peyton Manning will remember this.
All right.
But,
football hands.
He won't. He's had too many concussions.
Yeah, right. Because I think that would be interesting if that's what they did, because NBA had a storyline, NBA one of the NBA games, and it was a mixture between cutscenes and then you actually playing games like your college career and then onward. So
yeah.
I can see it going either way, really.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the games I'm looking forward to is Absolver. It just has this weird, like, combat system. It has, like, they call it, like, card decks or whatever. And so some of the gameplay I've seen, I really like. And then when I saw the post-E3 gameplay, I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I've actually also been looking at this game and kind of paying attention. They've released a lot of footage
for this game. They have. And I like the way, like, your clothing, like your loot or clothing affects, like, your fighting style.
Yeah, yeah.
So I need to see, like, what the reviews are going to be like before I even think about
purchasing it. Yeah.
Okay, another game I'm looking forward to is actually what we just talked about with Uncharted, for obvious reasons.
Basically. Right, right, right.
Okay, so game I'm really looking forward to, and I talked about this ad nauseum over the last couple podcasts, Agents of Mayhem. It's Saints Row. They're making a G.I. Joe game. It's great. I'm super excited for it.
Will you be able to customize characters?
No. It's going to be like, what I assume it's going to be like Overwatch, where like characters have skins.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like I'm going to make my character like Saints Row.
Right.
But Pierce is in it.
So, okay, well... We talked about it. I guess I'm still looking forward to Destiny 2, although I'm going to be a little disappointed. I'm still here forward to it.
I'm still
just a little
disappointed. As someone who gave up on vanilla Destiny after I finished the story content, the Destiny 1.5, which is this 2, I'm still super interested in.
Yeah.
So is it going to have like your issue with BioWare? Like, for example, another Mass Effect moment, you're like, I'm not going to play unless it has tens across the board. Will you have that same approach with Destiny?
No, my problems with Destiny weren't the mechanical issues or even the story. Like, the story was very thin, but like the gameplay itself was so good. I'm like,
it
kept me there.
Yeah.
And there's actually a playable, full functioning game there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Can't say about Mass Effect.
Yeah. Oh, so a game I'm looking forward to, and it's. This surprised the hell out of me. I am on record, not on this podcast, but on record in life, I hate the rabbits. The minute they showed up in Rayman, it ruined that franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
Because literally, they just stopped making
Rayman. They're the minions of games.
They stopped making, Rayman games, but they just kept churning out these rabbits games.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, they're super popular in France.
Exactly.
So, like a rabbits land or whatever.
Yes.
So when the rumors came out that they were making a Mario plus Rabbids RPG, I'm like, oh, I don't want any part of this. And then they showed it off at the Ubisoft press conference. And first, the creative director crying when they pointed him out in the audience because like everyone was super excited for the game. That's a lot of heart Ubisoft had. But two, and two, the game is just XCOM.
I'm still salty.
I know. The game is just XCOM, and as an XCOM fan, I'm super excited about that.
Hmm.
And the humor of the rabbits kind of worked when they were fused with Mario.
Right.
So, like, their rabbit Luigi actually looks kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I can get over how dumb their rabbit Peach is.
Yeah, yeah.
And at
first,
I was like, I'm not going to play with a Mario character. I'm not going to play with these rabbits. I'm like, yo, my rabbit Luigi does look kind of funny, though.
It's just like how... the minions only work when they don't take over the entire movie.
I see what you
tell the Latino community that.
Hey, France loves the rabbits, and the Latino community loves the minions. Because they're the only reason why that got $1 billion.
Oh.
Garbage.
Come on, DJ.
I'm still a little salty about Destiny 2.
We'll come back.
No. I am actually really excited for South Park.
Yeah.
You have to say the entire title.
South Park, The Fractured Butthole. I played the first one. I really enjoyed the first one. It was super surprising how much they got away with that.
So you saw the E3 demo, right?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
I'm talking about for the first game. Like, I was very surprised with how much they got away with that first game.
I was trying to segue to what they can get away with. So the demo they showed up at E3 is your character, who's either a 9-year-old boy or girl. I'm not sure if you could pick a gender.
We'll say boy. It makes
sense. Going to a strip club and...
Excuse me?
Doing a lap dance on a grown man.
To get information.
To get information.
About a certain character that you're looking for.
Oh no, baby. And what did you do?
The mini game, because this is a mini game. The idea is to not fart on the guy. And if you mess up, you fart on the guy. So it's a whole thing. But this is South Park.
I think me, the guy, the child farting on the guy is the least of the guy's concerns.
Probably. Just. Probably. But this is South Park. And man, I'm sure there's going to be other gems in that game that's going to make it great.
Yeah.
But I'm just excited for that.
Yeah. I'm also... Okay, so the original Knack was a glorified tech demo. I didn't touch that game for 10-foot pole. Mm-hmm. However, the scuttlebutt about Knack 2 is they're like, let's make an actual game.
Yeah.
And I... and, like, I am very nostalgic. I don't really have nostalgia, but I like the idea of mascot platformers. And Knack 2 looks like a good entry into the mascot platformer entry. And so I'm super excited to get my hands on that game.
The other thing I'm looking for is Middle-Earth Shadow of War. We talked about this a couple of podcasts ago.
Same.
We did mention it. You put it on the list, and we didn't talk about it because none of us wanted to play it.
Actually, the E3 demo actually got me excited.
Yeah, and so I've been watching before. I was hip before y'all got hit.
Okay.
And so I watched the E3 demo, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this joint kind of flames.
Yeah.
So it took the best... It took what I like about Arkham without completely jacking Arkham system Spider-Man. gave his own DNA.
First off... No, I'm not going to...
Right. So that's why I'm interested. Okay. I did throw some shade to Spark. I mean, it was a good demo. I wasn't here to give my opinion. It was a good demo. I just didn't like the combat.
Okay.
We'll
talk about that off mic.
I mean, I like the combat. We'll talk about mic.
The other game I'm looking forward to that I'm literally the only person on this list that's going to be looking forward to it is WWE 2K. I am a card-carrying wrestling fan. Exactly, and so I will keep supporting these games as long as they're good. They've had some rough patches over the just with the weird mechanics and the way that they changed from THQ to 2K and other things like that, but they've come into their own a bit more, so yeah. Check it out.
For y'all didn't know, Marcus is a 14-year-old man.
First off, grown-ass men like wrestling.
So despite DJ's assaultiness on the demo, I am still super excited for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I like... as bad as the game looks in comparison to the original, which kind of does suck... The part of me that's a giant Marvel Comics fan, and the part of me that's like hardcore Capcom fan.
It's because you saw Hawkeye.
Yes, because I saw Hawkeye, damn it. It's Hawkeye, Rocket Raccoon, Dante throwing Ebony and Ivory, the Rocket Raccoon. Like, oh, it was like the way DJ got hyped about Dragon Ball Z FighterZ because he's a Dragon Ball fan. Yeah, that's how I got hyped. That game.
I get
the models
that.
Ugly, though.
Oh, they're not great.
Oh my god.
Chun Li, boy.
They're not great.
She needs some fixing.
They also need to work on their Captain America model. That is,
and that's like, and that's like nigh unacceptable at this point with how good games like Injustice, Street Fighter V, Tekken look.
Yeah.
Like it's
another thing. Even
DBZ Fighters.
Not to go back to what we were playing, but when I was playing Infinite,
but
the way that the game was structured, it was cutscene. Load screen, in-game cut screen before the actual fight, fight's done, cutscene, load screen, in-game cut screen before the fight's done. That was the same pattern. I was just like, what is going on? Anyways, that game is garbage.
Another game I'm looking forward to, Avery, you say every year you're going to buy the Assassin's Creed game, and I always look at you like you're... Like, you're crazy. But this year, that joint actually looked good. And then when I watched the combat gameplay last night...
It's because the main character's black.
Actually, he's brown. And, but
Middle Eastern.
When I saw the combat, because I used to hate Assassin's Creed's combat.
Yeah.
But it looked like they learned something from For Honor in the way that you move around. I like For Honor's combat.
Right.
And so, for me, this seems like a culmination of all Ubisoft games... And, like, what they liked and
what they learned from their previous games.
Exactly. So, I'm actually looking forward to it.
I'm sort of there with you.
And it doesn't help that he's a nigga.
This is the closest that I've been interested in Assassin's Creed game, or as Avery likes to call it, Ass Creed game, since 3.
Yeah. I have to agree. Like, I'm
on the opposite spectrum.
Oh, my gosh.
This is
a podcast exclusive, guys.
I have to get my hands mechanically on the combat system to really judge how I'm going to feel about it. Mm. But if it's as drastically changed as everyone says it is, I'm not sure how I'm going to like it. Because mechanically, I know if you put a controller in my hand to play Assassin's Creed game, I know exactly what I need to do.
It's muscle memory.
If they've changed it drastically to fit how everyone else sort of wants it to feel, I'm going to be lost. I'm not sure my muscle memory will allow me to relearn it and have it still feel good.
I understand.
So you've just been used to trash, and now that they...
I was joking, bro.
This is why this nigga can't be God.
Another game that I'm looking forward to is Wolfenstein 2. We already talked about it, so not much to go into after that.
BJ Blazkowicz and his pregnant girlfriend.
You already know.
Ooh.
Game I'm looking forward to is Super Mario Odyssey.
Okay.
It's no news in this podcast that we've had a very contentious relationship about the Mario games.
Yes.
Cameron's of the mindset that they are the same boring game over and over again. Not on the mindset that Sonic is trash and he's always
that's what I'm saying. The thing is, Cameron's opinion was valid up until he brought up the fact that somehow Sonic was better than Mario.
Especially when I saw the new Sonic. I was like, yeah. Sonic trash.
Sonic ain't been better than Mario.
It does not look
ever.
But like, okay. But back on track to Mario Odyssey. I was going to buy this game regardless. But to the whole Cameron that Mario games are doing the exact same thing over and over again, which I don't think is a problem because Mario is the gold standard for platformer. And like, we just want something new and interesting and fresh. The whole hat mechanic looks baller as fuck.
Even though, so...
That had me. I was like, oh, yeah.
I saw the take possession of people.
That's what I was going to say.
I saw the tree...
Why I'm really in love with it, I saw the Treehouse Live demo of it. Uh-huh. And, like, there was, like, a bullet bill, and it was going into a wall and it was going to blow up. So Mario took control of the bullet bill,
redirected it
into another wall, blew that wall up, and it was like, you can use it for... Problem solving. I'm like, okay, now this is super interesting.
I'm just hoping that
they also showed up that they still had traditional like 3D Mario platforming in as well. Okay, I'm super into this game right now.
I said last week though, Mario is OP as hell in this game. He has literal control. He's a reality warper at this point.
Yep.
The other game I'm looking forward to is Ni No Kuni 2. I like the first one. It was Pokemon. And
how do you feel when
it was kind of Pokemon, but not really Pokemon?
It was poor man Pokemon.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them taking out the Pokemon part? Really? There's much game stuff you watch on YouTube. You didn't know
it. I wish we could have captured look on his face.
Yeah.
Cameron's
face is like broken.
From what I can tell, it's going to play like every other level 5 game where it's more of an action RPG.
Yeah.
I think Rogue Galaxy.
There's no capturing.
Oh, I like Rogue Galaxy, but...
There's no capturing of creatures anymore.
Yeah, that was the whole uniqueness of... Other than that, it was just a regular RPG.
Yep.
I mean, Rogue Galaxy was interesting because the cast, the characters are interesting, and you had that like weapon customization and just the story and the game and the combat, but...
Yeah.
Nah, take that off the list.
I'm actually more interested in it when they took out the Pokemon.
Really?
Because it didn't go.
You could have evolved them, youngin.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. It felt like poor man Pokemon to me. Like,
well,
it didn't
true,
go the full
too.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I
don't care about this at all.
Yeah.
Like, all these monsters look boring as fuck. I don't want this cow thing.
Right. I believe my wife was around when I was complaining about, like, that game's
give me a Pikachu,
damn it. Features.
Give me gems. I want to play this tired ass RPG.
So basically what you want is actual
Pokemon.
Exactly. But it's one of the things, I had a problem with Persona 5. I didn't really talk about it because it was like a really minor problem. But this Persona game feels even more like a Pokemon game than any other Persona game has.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I don't like this at all. I just want real
Pokemon. Every Persona looks better than every Pokemon.
We'll see 2020 when it comes out on Switch.
True.
I'll probably train that thing.
Last game that I'm excited for is Need for Speed Payback.
Call exactly what you're about to call it, right? Fast and the Furious Payback.
Yeah, and I've already covered that.
Yeah. Audience, if you are sitting down right now, I'm going to ask you to stand up because it's about to get real live. Because the game that I am excited for It is called Dragon's Dogma.
Dogma.
Yes, The Dark Arisen. I don't know when it's coming out this year, but I cannot wait.
You are going to replay that old-ass game on next-gen.
I will replay that old-ass game on next-gen.
You know, I appreciate the both of you.
If you were trying to get trophies, I'd understand it.
I don't even need trophies.
I need to climb a dragon and fight a golem.
Yep.
I appreciate the both of you for your unyielding devotion to garbage. And I appreciate that about you.
Marcus.
Get you a DJ and Cam, y'all. Because it doesn't matter how much you fuck up, they will stick by you till the end.
As I told Cam, there is two sets of stairs and a door. You see your way out.
Okay, so another game I'm looking forward to is Star Wars Battlefront 2. Mm-hmm. Ignoring the awful multiplayer demo.
Really?
Really?
That's right.
We spent the entire last part of the EA podcast trashing it.
Because it was the multiplayer and it was going to be a poor presentation. The single player still looks super dope.
Yeah.
Now, my only comment is, you all know me, I don't like playing as bad guys. I don't like making bad choices. The fact that you're playing as stormtroopers in this game, fighting the rebellion, bothers me to my core. So in my heart of hearts, I'm having a war with what's a better story? This main character realizing that she's a Nazi and deciding to change it the last moment, and like maybe she's the one who helped them get the plans at the end of Force Awakens, or that she stays full Nazi.
I'm just saying, Avery is so straight edge that he can't play bad guys in video games. Uh-uh. That's crazy. Okay. Oh, yeah. But, and the last game that I'm looking forward to is Hellblade. I'm sorry. I said the last game was Fast and Furious, but it's really Hellblade. Hellblade,
he lied to you. Don't worry about it.
Hellblade, I get forgetful sometimes. But Hellblade is, I didn't even know. First off,
I'm sorry. I'm playing Life is Strange. We're going to rewind.
We've, not on this podcast per se, but in life, we've talked about how Ninja Theory is a lot of times it's a very divisive studio, just with the way they make games and the way they tell their stories. None of us here are really fans of Ninja Theory, especially Avery after what they did to Devil May Cry. But
never forgive, never forget.
But I had no idea that they were working on something new, and so I just randomly saw this trailer for Hellblade, and I thought, is this some sort of Horizon DLC?
I believe they revealed it, I want to say, 2 PSXs ago? Was that a PSX or a Gamescom?
Yeah, so I saw the trailer. I'm like, this actually looks really interesting, despite the whole Ninja Theory stigma. And then I found out that it's going to drop for $30. And I'm like, well, I got to get this on principle. But to segue into our gaming culture topic, in the story of Hellblade, the main character has a sort of psychosis issue where basically she hears voices and she's not sure of her sanity at any given time. And that affects the way the game plays. It affects her decision making, and it affects how you experience the game as well, because they actually recorded, vocals in like different, parts of like the ear.
Game Tally. 2014.
Okay. But like, yeah. And so basically you'll hear voices from this direction and then the other direction to kind of throw you off. And as the player, you have the same jarring experience as she does.
That could be really trippy.
Yeah. And it's almost like the gaming equivalent of like watching Mr. Robot. Like, it's just like weird jarring experience. And one of the interesting things that we wanted to cover is kind of trauma in gaming and also healing in gaming, and also kind of how that plays into representation as well, where with these characters, like the main character of Hellblade and
Senua.
Oh, it's Senua?
Yeah, Senua.
Okay. I honestly didn't fully know how to say it right, so I just didn't even say it.
It's Celtic.
Okay. But yeah, like with a character like her, you know, just dealing so overtly with this psychosis problem and how that adds to representation, because there's not many game characters, or at least before now, that dealt with psychological issues. Right. And since, you know, this is a podcast run by four black dudes. It's one of those things where representation is still a thing that we look for because right. we want to see more things like us, or more people like us in games. And I find that really interesting as well, that they're starting to delve more into that aspect of representation right, as well. Right. And like things with trauma. Yeah. Because like with war games and stuff like that, you'll get PTSD trauma, of course.
Right. Yeah.
But other types of trauma are things that still aren't really touched upon. And people, there's still a lot of people who don't realize that war isn't the only thing that can induce PTSD.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's different shades of PTSD.
Okay.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Mark, that's a really good point. So I was just wondering, you know, like what you guys think about, you know, that aspect and like how those things can paint gaming, how they can push the culture right. forward, things that you might want to look forward to or look into.
Yeah. Like I've actually also been doing a little bit of research in this game, and the way that they handle trauma is just, it's almost refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that like, even to the point where like the voices and the things that she sees actually ties into like solving certain puzzles.
Right.
Oh, wow.
It's like, really cool.
Right. So it's like, the example was like she saw like two weird shapes, and then she had to turn around and look in her environment to see like what matched those shapes, and that triggered a different event or something.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's like puzzles like that, that's just like, it's really easy in like concept, but like to actually put a layer of like the reason you're doing this is because of you have, I'm not going to say it's like a power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're treating it almost as a power.
Yeah.
And it's just a disorder.
Yeah.
And it's just like to use something that we look as negative as a positive kind of force is like really different and interesting.
It's sort of like the show Alphas that Avery, I know Avery and I used to watch and love, and there's this character, was it Gary?
Yeah.
And he was autistic, but his alpha allowed him to be able to see
allows him to see the essentially Wi-Fi signals of technology.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he can manipulate the strands of stuff like by seeing it.
Yeah.
And because of his autism, that enhanced this whole. And so that's kind of like you said, where they take something that we view as negative and just shift the light on it.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I'm thinking from a perspective of a gamer, like it also makes it more of an immersive experience. So think about it like this, right?
Mm.
Usually, these things that we say as negative or this trauma that to a certain point rules your life.
Yeah.
And then seeing how a character that I identify with is using that trauma to solve problems.
Yeah.
To get to that next point. And it, to me, it speaks to as a gamer is like, okay, like if they can overcome this and I've walked through some, I know what it's like. And then someone's also creating an experience where I identify with this experience and I'm seeing how they're going to their next level or they're going to the next point and moving their story forward. And the story doesn't end because of the trauma. I'm thinking about like what does that say as a standpoint of just like
what you can overcome.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Thank you, Marcus. Like, just, I was like,
Also, it's like just because the game is over doesn't mean that the trauma is also
exactly
over.
Yeah.
That still stays with the character.
Yeah.
And essentially stays with you.
And in a cool way, especially with sensual, that's her name.
Sensual.
Yeah. You're kind of sensual. You're kind of in a way you're helping them through their trauma. And
right.
That's kind of like it gives you kind of this feeling of like,
yeah.
Yo, like I helped them get through this horrific situation.
Right, right.
You
right.
know, and like even though, yes, like you said, not everything's gonna be honky dory probably, but it's like it's cool that you're kind of navigating. It's almost like being a best friend to somebody going
yeah.
through something.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, the only thing I was gonna say, like so this, and I wish more people tune in, I think when we get back to Avery, DJ and I, we had a conversation about what we hope people will learn from games and like
yeah.
older people. This is in our like when we did a podcast, and this is it. This right here is it. Like
yeah.
when people talk about like, oh, these games are just for kids or this
right.
doesn't. Like, no, this is people dealing with real issues and then seeing how we can walk with people through these issues
mm-hmm.
and that our life is, you know, like our trauma doesn't have to consume us. Yeah,
right.
That's what I'm getting
Games
at.
Like this are the antithesis to the whole Call of Duty thing where it's like
exactly.
a lot of times you hear from anti-gamers, they use like Call of Duty and game and Grand Theft Auto and stuff like, you know, oh, it's spreading violence and
it's all about shooting, killing,
exactly, and that's what they go to.
Yeah,
and then games like these are the counterpoint,
yeah,
right, to that, where it's like, nah, it's bigger than that, like it's deeper than that. When,
yeah,
they want to be, we can actually tell these layered stories and represent traumas that are actually happening in real life. And I think that that's really dope that we're getting to that point where that's becoming more commonplace. And I guess one last question I have is, in terms of like healing, because I think Avery, you brought up, what was it, you were Avery or Cameron, y'all brought up how some guy from Kinda Funny,
it was Cam.
Okay. And how playing through
Fallout
helped him get through the death of his father?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Tim Geddes from Kinda Funny.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure if he was talking about Fallout, but I believe that is true.
But it's like this interesting thing where, you know, have you ever played a game or, you know, seen a character go through something that it resonated with you on a personal level, mm-hmm, or helped you make sense of something that you were feeling, or...
Right. I mean... It might not be that deep, but, like...
Hey, anything's welcome.
Right, right. But, like, I know oftentimes, like, back when I was, like, a big into Tekken, like,
mm-hmm,
I would use that game to, like, vent, basically.
Mm.
Like, that game would take my frustrations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it was Metal Gear Solid 2. So, when I was in college, I just had this bout where I was dealing with some, like, really bad depression and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go back to my dorm room and just play Metal Gear Solid 2. And it was the fact of mastering, like, I got to the point where, like, you know how they had the settings, like, if someone sees you, the game is over.
Yeah.
And so I beat the entire game on that, like, and for me, it was like, I mastered this, I really understood the story, and really connected with, I hate to say this, I really connected with Raiden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I know. Just because of the idea that, like, he was trained for this one thing, and then,
right,
he found out his whole world was fake or false or created.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, through Snake being there and,
right,
Otacon, but he kind of, like, picked himself up, faced his demons, you know, beat Solidus,
yeah,
at the end. And for me, that was just, like, I mastered this game, but then, like, at the end of the day, I still can control or still, like, shape my destiny just like this character, and so that's,
right,
what I did.
Yeah.
You, like, took a lesson from the
yeah,
game by beating, yeah. Okay.
And I guess...
he found out his baby mom was, like, with the whole current... Yeah, it was, like,
yeah.
You know how Metal Gear, dude.
Avery, do you have any experience, like, that, like, where game... I know that games are a safe haven for you regardless,
yeah,
but it's,
right,
also, like, have you had a game, like, speak to you on a level or, like, help you through something, or at least just help take your mind off of, you know, all the bullshit?
Not really.
Really?
Games are an escape and entertainment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they help me deal with something, I couldn't really pinpoint,
mm-hmm,
what they help me through.
Right.
But it's
more of an afterthought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never, like, I play... No, okay, here's the thing. I do... I play video games, I watch TV, I do a lot of... I immerse myself in entertainment and media, so I don't have to think about anything else going on.
So, like, you just dive full,
yeah,
on, so you don't have to... Okay.
Like, that escapism,
yeah,
is almost like therapy.
And,
yeah,
that, in and of itself, is
therapy.
A way to help... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I guess for me, there's... I'm a sucker for a good father-daughter narrative.
Okay.
So, like, Telltale's The Walking Dead with Lee and Clem,
right,
or
Dragon's
more...
Dogma.
Or even more powerfully, you know, the story of Joel and Ellie,
yeah,
in,
okay,
Last of Us, and just watching it. What really resonated with me was just seeing, you know, the found family element, because,
yeah,
like, even though I have a good family life, I've seen a lot of friends of mine who don't.
Yeah.
And so in a way... And so in a way, like, that whole found family element of, like, where they're family now, and, like, through circumstance and through experience and stuff, we've bonded and made an unbreakable bond. And this really cool thing about Ellie and Joel, where, like, Joel really ain't want nothing to do with another daughter figure.
Yeah.
And then Ellie just weaved her way in his life, and then he was willing to just do
anything
to make sure she survived. And that's just like such a heavy, wonderful story. And so I love stuff like that. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of get a little bit of meat with this whole gaming culture.
Get into the feels.
Yeah.
Well, that's the podcast for the... Wait a minute. I'm not Cam. Wait, this is
Nigga, well, go away for two podcasts.
Right? Times are changing. So yeah, as Avery mentioned earlier, we're trying to change up the form of the podcast and, you know, just give us all more things to do rather than look at Cam's face all the time. So... thanks for joining us. If you like what you heard, subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment below. Is that how that works? Below?
Yeah, yeah.
No? Yeah. Anyways.
Why not?
Yeah.
Right, share and subscribe.
All that stuff. We'd love to hear from you. Like, really, we would love to hear from you. Like, please.
Yeah, give us another, like, I forget the, what's his name, Johnny or, the
Joey.
Guy that, Joey? Ooh, yeah. Who gave us,
we
I'm
love
sorry,
you, Joey.
I'm bad with names. But, you know, the guy who gave us.
I'm bad with people.
He gave us, video games.
Right?
He gave us the topic for our culture segment before this.
Right.
And, you know, so we would love to hear things that you would want to hear us talk about or things that you're curious about. Please flood us with
just
stuff.
Anything, just, you know. Give us a shout out. You can give us a shout out at our email, which is pressxtostartpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is pressxtostartpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to subscribe to a topic or question for the show, follow us on Twitter at pressx2, not T-O, but the number 2-S. That's again, it is pressx. Don't laugh at me. It's pressx2S. Our Facebook page is Press X to Start. That's it. Just Press X to Start. And our new Instagram page that has, we're working on it still.
Under construction. It's under construction for like 8 episodes. Yeah, one job.
Well, now I have 2. Close this podcast to my second job.
We're going to take that under advisement after this.
our Instagram page is, hey, y'all be quiet. Our Instagram page is Press X to Start. That's it.
All right.
Again, thanks for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as we all did.
Yeah.
Guys,
right?
Yeah. I had a great time. Well, I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
are you?
Yeah, so I've been Marcus Ellison. You can hit me up on PSN at KidProdigy07.
Oh, and I'm Cameron, because I'm back, and... I'm at CWILLI 722.
This is why we ain't remember what it was.
Well, not right. I didn't think they wouldn't let us change our PSN names.
That's true. But yours is still your name, so like, I'm Avery Williams, the Twisted Kaiju 07. I'm understandably maybe I should change that name I had when I was 14 years old.
Yep.
But you're like, nah, nah, it's way confusing.
All right, and I am DJ at Astro-Ice.
Say yours again, because we cut you off.
CWILLI 722.
Dang, that's crazy.
Crooked letter I. Humpback.
All right, guys. See you around.
Be easy.